Lord, you've given us the freedom of the scriptures. Now help us to read them and to hear your voice speaking in them, to build us up and to show us the way to walk this world, particularly in a world in which there is so much confusion and so much opposition. Go with us in your spirit, in the name of your Son. Amen. Our scripture reading is taken from Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, the verses 12 through 17. And I don't know if the title of the sermon was... It's... Yes, that thy whole being may proclaim. I picked that line from one of the songs. I think it captures very much the intent of this passage. Colossians 3, the verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord also forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So if you were paying attention, you probably noticed that the word thanks or gratitude appeared three times in that short passage, especially the three verses that form our focus of reflection today. People of God, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I think all of us have been taught from an early age to be polite. And then when someone gives us something, we say thank you. And of course, the person who gives us something enjoys that, particularly if it's a grandparent giving something to a grandchild. Thank you, Grandma. Thank you, Grandpa. Or Opa and Oma, as the case may be. And we enjoy that. We want to be appreciated. And so we can understand in a way that God also wants to be appreciated. It's the polite thing to do, isn't it? To give God thanks for everything that we have. There's a little bit more to it, of course. In a time when we sometimes forget that we have little influence over the sun and the rain, the snow, the early and the late frost, we can understand that when we give thanks for the harvest, it's a genuine dependence on God. That's where Thanksgiving Day, of course, originates, in the time of harvesting, and why it's so much earlier here than in the U.S. And it becomes more than for us than just an annual day in which we kind of say, okay, happy Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. It's a special day. It's a day that lifts us up. We also know that there's so much more for which we may give thanks than just the harvest. Our homes, our families, our friends. This has all been made clear already in the liturgy for today. Our country, our security, our well-being in a land of freedom, even as we grieve with those who are suffering in Syria and Iraq, Haiti in a special way, and elsewhere. We give thanks for children who are born, for lives that have been lived, for economic opportunities, even in a province that's depressed. productive farms, satisfying jobs, the longing to work, even if we can't sometimes find work. And we give thanks for our very lives expressed in so many ways from day to day. In the letter that Paul wrote to Colossians, there is actually quite a lot of attention given to being thankful. We're taught, for instance, in chapter 1 already, to give thanks for salvation. We share in the inheritance of the saints in light because God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's just before that wonderful passage in which Christ is the center of creation. And Paul also gives thanks for faith. And in the same chapter, right at the beginning of Colossians 1, the Colossians are also called to have a faith that abounds with thanksgiving. That's in the next chapter, chapter 2. As well as to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. That's in the last chapter. And here in our text, thankfulness rules the thought from verses 15 through 17. And be thankful and do everything out of gratitude. And we aren't just thankful in a polite sense when we receive something and say, thank you. But our whole lives get to be characterized here by thankfulness. It becomes a way of living that my whole being may proclaim. A way of believing, a way of praying. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so thanksgiving becomes crucial to expressing our relationship to God. It is a way of saying yes to God, of answering God when God says, I call you into being. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given me life. And we say yes to God in all circumstances, and especially in light of the disastrous events of the past week. And I'm not talking about the snow. I'm talking more about Haiti and Hurricane Matthew. Hurricane Matthew, that name bothers me because it's the name of my son. So, but Matthew wreaked a lot of devastation. I was in Haiti a few years ago and saw where the earthquake had done a lot of damage and visited the place that's been hit now. And World Renew has been busy in that area and has done a lot of work. And now they have to go back and the stuff they built, I sure stood up well, but more has to be done now. Let's look at a couple other places in the Bible besides Colossians to get a little bit clearer picture of thanksgiving. In Romans 14, Paul is trying to resolve a conflict between those whose faith gives them freedom to eat any kind of meat, no matter where they buy it, versus those who fast or those who will eat any kind of meat except pork, Muslims and Jews, or who, in imitation of Daniel, eat vegetables out of principle. Daniel, I don't think he was a principal vegetarian, but he did eat only vegetables when the emperor offered him meat in order to avoid any contamination with the Babylonian culture. And that's what's at stake here also. And Paul says that both those who abstain and those who eat anything they want because they feel they can face the challenges of our culture, both can be servants of God because they give thanks to God. Because they give thanks to God, even though they disagree with each other. And that suggests that somehow thanksgiving is essential to making something acceptable to do before God. And thanksgiving arms us against false pride and false spirits. So are you able to give thanks to God for whatever you're doing? Or to put it differently, are you able to dedicate your activity to God? Is whatever you're doing a demonstration of the fact that you have been called into being by God, that you are acting as a child of God, that you are unfolding the gifts that God has given you in a way that is consistent with what God expects of you? Now, that may seem like an impossible task, but we'll get to that in a moment. There's a reason why Paul talks about giving thanks in Jesus Christ. There's a beautiful little passage in Paul's first letter to Timothy, where Paul is dealing with people who like to place all kinds of restrictions on living, especially restrictions on people in church, where life, in a sense, becomes so spiritual that you can no longer enjoy creation. It's like everything is going to be in heaven, so forget this creation. And Paul says, that's not true. That's not true. These people reject foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving. For those who believe and know the truth, for everything created by God is good. I'm quoting from Paul here. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Now, this is a pretty powerful role for giving thanks. The ability to give thanks acknowledges and affirms the goodness of God's creation, and that it is rooted in the goodness of God and stays that way even when we run into problems. It is able to recognize that God made everything, to recognize what God is doing in creation, and how are we able to use it wisely in response to God. The place of thanksgiving is so powerful in creation that Paul, I don't think he was a good Calvinist, Paul defines original sin as the failure to give thanks. Romans 1. The failure to give thanks and the failure to glorify, honor, and praise God is the root cause of all evil, according to Paul. Although they knew God, I'm quoting him again, although they knew God and they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened, and claiming to be wise, they actually became fools. And so the failure to give thanks here underlies all other sins. In fact, giving thanks is so fundamental to human life, so much a part of worshiping God, that not knowing how to give thanks leads to not knowing how to live. Not knowing how to think, how to discern things, how to make judgments about our lives, it makes us vulnerable to suppressing the place of God in our lives, and not giving thanks casts a pall of darkness over our lives, because we become people who separate our lives from our Creator, and then we begin to imagine that we can lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I've tried that, it doesn't work. And we pretend that we have given ourselves life and that we have the right to take it whenever we want. This is Canada. That we can make up our own minds about what is right and wrong. This is Canada again, our modern world. It limits us to seeing only the curse in things like earthquakes and hurricanes, so that we no longer dare to hope for the blessing of God when disaster strikes. How in the world can we possibly fulfill such a mandate? There's a sense in which believers are asked to walk with their whole lives in awareness of God's presence. It can be difficult to give thanks with every fiber of our body, with all the pressures of life that we face, with all the temptations, all of the distractions, incessant television about Hillary and Donald. And particularly in an age that is characterized by immense consumption and incessant activity. We just never stop. They mentioned the electric light bulb is such a great blessing, but sometimes it also has become a source of difficulty for us. And we're bombarded with messages constantly, television, radio, text messages on our phone, emails that we didn't ask for, messages that create a sense of dissatisfaction. So that rather than give thanks, we want even more than we have, often to the detriment of the less fortunate. And Colossians gives us a clue as to how it is possible to give thanks in that kind of situation. We quoted already from chapter 1, Christ has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He's also released us from the powers that control us, and we face many in the world today. He's also placed us under a new lordship, given us a citizenship in a new realm, a new country, where those demons are emptied of their power. And he's released us from our own sinfulness and our own failure to give thanks by forgiving us and giving us new life, a new start in creation. And Christ can do all of that because he is the one in whom God designs all of creation. That's that beautiful hymn in Colossians 1. Christ is the one in whom all things are created. And he gives all of creation meaning. All powers, all activities and involvements are called into being in Christ. And he calls them back, Christ calls them back to their proper perspective. He calls them to account, even the wind and the rain. And Christ acts on our behalf and sends the Holy Spirit to be the real power in our lives. And so he's more than a good person and a great teacher. He leads us back into a relationship with God. And so Jesus' life is one of giving thanks. And this is so because Jesus in his whole life affirms God. He says, "You are God." And that's the determines my whole being. And he affirms God's creation, and in Christ we affirm God and God's gifts in our lives and act before God in all that we do. In Christ, God says yes to us. In Christ, we also say yes to God when we give thanks. And we say that long before the harvest is in, and that's true for this year with all the rain and all the snow. A lot of farmers have a lot of work to do yet, and they're praying for dry weather. We say that before our children are born, and every child is a gift. And sometimes we think, oh, we have a challenge here, but it's still God's gift to us. We're saying that when things appear incomplete in our lives, when we're grieving the loss of someone that we love, when it may seem more difficult to give thanks because so many other things are happening to distract us, we say that God is good and that what he does is good and that where he leads us is where we want to begin our lives. Yes, God, we affirm you as God and we affirm you as our only hope. We thank you, we praise you, and we live before you. Thank you, God. Amen.